Case number five, please. Emmanuel Aguino-Amo versus John D. Ashcroft.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Mark Hoke. I'm appearing on behalf of the petitioner, Emmanuel Adeyemo. We are here on a deportation case, an in absentia order of removal against Mr. Adeyemo entered in 1995. An in absentia order entered under a former section of the Immigration Act, section 242B, which outlined the necessary steps to take to put someone into deportation proceedings, as well as to properly effectuate service and effectuate service for any notice of proceedings that followed. In Mr. Adeyemo's case, he filed for political asylum in 1992. He was denied political asylum in 1994, and in order to show cause to place him into deportation proceedings was prepared by the government. That was sent to him by a certified mail return receipt in March of 1994. That return receipt was not signed by Mr. Adeyemo, it was signed by someone else. He lived in a 187-unit apartment building, and that certificate, that return receipt, clearly does not have his signature on it. In addition, the signatory is not identified, and the signatory is signed as the addressee, so we don't know who signed for this document and what happened.
It's surprising that it happened two times, isn't it?
It only happened one time.
It's one of two different times that he challenged the service.
That he, Your Honor, I'm sorry, in terms of challenging the service, where we are, procedurally where this case is at this point,
right.
This has been some of the give and take with the government is. Initially, when he was put on notice that he had been ordered deported
right.
in absentia in 2002, he very quickly filed he filed a motion to reopen based on the knowledge that there was this order against
right.
him. And that's the motion that's before the court today.
That's what the brief says. Right.
Right. And subsequently, what's happened is we've gotten a plethora of documents from the government which now show that he wasn't, that someone else signed for this order to show cause in 1994. That answers the question as to why he didn't know that he was in court proceedings, and especially why when he applied for permanent residency in 1996 and was approved in 1997, he had no idea that he had been ordered removed in 1995. The Immigration Service didn't even bring this up before they approved him for permanent residency. So he has challenged it twice. There is currently a motion there was a motion to reopen submitted to the original trial judge in this case, indicating that the Postal Service had not properly served the certified mailing by not having the addressee or the signatory sign their own, provide their own name, and then to sign that they were receiving this document. 1.7 of the Domestic Mail Manual outlines what a Postal Service worker is supposed to do in order to properly serve or properly deliver a certified mail letter. And so, yes, there is currently an argument before the Board of Immigration Appeals regarding that failure by the Postal Service to properly effectuate service under their own rules and regulations. So that is before the board. We have provided evidence of that to this tribunal in connection with this direct appeal from the first motion to reopen, because the government has placed it into this record of proceeding. They have made this an issue before this court. This court has the motion that was just denied before the immigration judge. It has it in the record. The government provided that. It needs to be looked at by the court. In terms of due process, we're not, there is an exhaustion requirement. However, when we're talking about due process, which is a de novo review before the Seventh Circuit, that can be reviewed, and that domestic mail manual violation by the U.S. Postal Service is yet one more piece of evidence that this court should take into consideration when it determines whether or not Mr. Adeyemo's due process rights have been violated. Did he ever get a fair opportunity to defend himself before the immigration court? Did he ever get fair notice? Did he get proper notice? All of these things put together, especially after he's lived and resided in the United States for more than 7 years as a lawful permanent resident that the government approved, after an interview and after a background check, he was approved for lawful permanent residency in these facts, or under these facts, if the domestic mail manual evidence and the failure of the government or the Postal Service to abide by their own rules is considered to be not properly before this court in terms of review of whether they followed their own regulations, it certainly should be taken into account when we look at due process in this case.
Well, their own rules, meaning that the rules say you have to get identification from the person to whom you're delivering it or something like that, is that what you're trying to find ascertain?
It requires that whoever is going to be signing for the document, be signing for this letter, print their name. And whoever signed for this did not print their name. And then on top of that, they signed as the addressee. So this order to show cause in 1994 was going to Mr. Adamo in this apartment building. And there are pictures in the record of how large this building is and how many different units there are. Whoever that person was did not put down their name as required by the Postal Service to require them to do. And then the whoever this Postal Service officer was, or this postman was, they had this person sign as though he or she was Emmanuel Adamo. He never had a chance to get this document, and he doesn't even know who that signature is. The government hasn't provided any a shred of evidence on who this person really is, and they're the ones actually that the burden is on them to establish that this order to show cause was properly served in order to place Mr. Adamo into deportation.
It was a numbered apartment that the service attempted to meet on. How was it? Mailboxes? Or
there's a wall of mailboxes. He lived in Unit 111. We don't know how many times the Postal Service came there, rang the doorbell looking for someone to sign in Unit 111, or if they did that, but there are 187 different mailboxes, and it's a wall of literally little, it's like going to the post office and you see all these P.O. boxes. There are a number of them, and there are people traipsing through that lobby constantly. We don't know who signed that document, but in terms of a responsible person, you know, can the service fall back on the argument that this document, this order to show cause, was properly served on either the respondent personally or on a responsible person? The answer is no.
How many people were living in the apartment?
One. It was him. How many people were in the entire building? 187 units. If there's one person, you're talking at least 187 people. We're talking an apartment building that also has children. Okay, so we're talking countless of people going through there. We don't know if this person that signed for this document was the landlord, or if it was just a neighbor, if it was someone who was just walking through. We don't know. Who's the burden on to establish that was a responsible person? Under board precedent, matter of Grijalva, as it applies section 242B, small a, number 1, it recognized that its prior decision in a case called matter of Hewitt properly applies in the circumstances of serving an order to show cause in person on an individual. It can be served in person, and if it's not, it can be served by certified mail return receipts, and it's signed for either by the applicant or by the respondent or a responsible person. The burden's on the government to establish who a responsible person is in this case. The only time that the burden shifts to the petitioner to establish who is the whether a responsible person signed or not, is if the order to show cause has already been served. The presumption in matter of Grijalva that the board has used its discretion in failing to properly apply this case law states that the presumption of effective service only comes about when we're talking of service of notice of court proceedings. We're talking about a more basic fact here. Mr. Adamo never even got the order to show cause.
In that situation then, what did the court find as far as the initial notice to show cause?
The immigration judge, if you're talking the original minute order that he issued in 1995, it just simply was actually a minute order that misquoted the law. It was the previous section of the law. It just said that service was proper. In denying the motion to reopen, it quoted matter of Grijalva and the presumption that service is proper when someone signs for the return receipt. That was the section that was the That was how the immigration judge applied matter of Grijalva. The presumption that service is proper if either the petitioner or responsible person signs is what the judge based this on and didn't put the burden on the government where it should be to establish that the person they had signed was indeed a responsible person. I do want to reserve as much time as I can for any rebuttal.
Okay. Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Larry Cody, and I represent the Attorney General John Ashcroft in this case. The record is clear that the Board properly exercised its broad discretion when it denied Mr. Adeyemo's motion to reopen. There's no indication from the record that the Board abused its discretion or that the Board did not make a rational explanation or departed from precedent or its own policies or procedures, but it determined that Mr. Adeyemo did in fact receive proper notice of his immigration hearing. The reason why this record does not contain any evidence that he was not properly served is because that burden shifted to Mr. Adeyemo.
At what point did it shift?
It shifted at that point, Your Honor, when the Immigration Service received that return receipt notice back to them showing that an individual at that address, at that specific apartment, signed the document as receiving the letter from the service. We presume, and the case law is clear, that we presume regularity in the Postal Service, that that postman did his job, found someone responsible at that address to sign for that document.
And that isn't his signature, is it?
No, it's not, Your Honor, and the law does not require that to be his signature. The law requires that it's either the petitioner or a reasonable person or a responsible person.
Well, how do you know the person was responsible?
Your Honor, that's part of the presumption. We presume that the post office did its job. And we presume that the postman found a responsible person at that address, at that apartment, to deliver that mail to.
But he delivered it to some box, did he, Your Honor?
We don't know, Your Honor. We don't know. And again, we presume that that mail was delivered to a person at that address. And then the presumption is that it's Mr. Adeyemo's responsibility now to provide this court and provide the board and to provide the immigration judge with evidence that a responsible person did not sign for it.
Do we know how it was delivered, whether it was just placed in the box, who signed for it, anything?
It's not in the record, Your Honor. We don't know how it was delivered.
No, subsequent mailings, those aren't necessarily certified, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. And if this court were to reject the government's argument that the order to show cause was not properly served on Mr. Adeyemo, one fact here that Mr. Adeyemo's counsel doesn't talk about is that the notice of hearing was properly served in accordance with statutes and regulations on Mr. Adeyemo, giving him notice of his immigration hearing.
Is that certified?
It's not. It's required that it's certified mail, Your Honor, but it's not required that it's return receipt.
Doesn't it have to be clear, unequivocal, and convincing evidence
that it was served, Your Honor?
Yes.
Well, Your Honor, with the court.
Well, does it, yes or no? Is that the burden that you have to meet?
Your Honor, I think this court established the burden in Nazarova when it said that notice needs to be reasonable.
In other words, you're saying that isn't the burden. Is the burden clear, unequivocal, and convincing evidence?
No, Your Honor. I think with the immigration court or the immigration service needs to do is provide notice, which is reasonably calculated to provide actual service. And that's what the court did when it sent its notice of a hearing to Mr. Adeyemo. It had a return
after the initial service. So.
Tell us, what is the burden, if that isn't the burden, on the government?
I'm not sure at this point, Your Honor.
Then why are you sure that it isn't clear and convincing?
Your Honor, I'm going
unequivocal.
I'm saying this court has said in Nazarova that the government needs to show that notice is reasonably calculated to provide actual service, and that's what I'm saying the burden was in this case, Your Honor.
No, that was following. They did other mail, just regular mail, is unable to be served or delivered?
Yes, Your Honor. The notice of hearing sent by the court did come back as return to sender. Despite the fact that
presumably he could have moved, but I guess your argument would be, yeah, but once he got the initial notice, he had to follow up by telling what any new address.
Actually, right? Your Honor, in this particular case, Mr. Adeyemo, even in his brief, indicates that he was still living at that address at the time when the court sent its notice of the hearing to him. So there was not even an allegation that he moved.
Well, that's the implication. I'm not saying it's an allegation. If you get the return to sender, meaning you can't deliver it, or I guess there's no such address, or you moved, that's when it comes back usually, isn't it?
Or if nobody was correct, John, that's what it comes
back. I mean, they put it in the mailbox, theoretically, and you don't pick it up, you throw it away, that's different. But if they say there's no mailbox or it's the wrong address, then they don't deliver it. So I guess I'm looking at, again, if the immigration judge has said you worry about, well, that he probably just scribbled there so that he was going to have a fake signature and then claim it wasn't his signature.
That is the concern of the government, Your Honor. That if
that's a kind of a, well, that's really premeditation for 7 years later, isn't it? I don't know.
What does the statute say about service?
Your Honor, there's two specific...
Doesn't it say by clear and convincing and unequivocal?
I don't have the statute in front of me, Your Honor. I'd have to...
It'll be helpful next time.
I
think it says that.
Okay. And we have, Your Honor, clear and unequivocal evidence that he was served with the order to show cause and a notice of hearing, Your Honor.
What is it that he was talking about that's presently before another tribunal, I guess, of something about the Postal Service and some kind of a challenge? Is it related to this case? Is it this case specifically?
It's related to this case, Your Honor. I believe petitioner went back to the immigration judge and filed another motion to reopen and submitted additional evidence to show that, or alleging that service was not proper and that the post office did not follow its own procedures. That matter is not before the court.
I guess it sort of isn't. Does that mean it's going to be determined whether or not this was his signature, or somebody's going to make a finding that he scribbled it or something like that?
Well, Your Honor, the immigration court in Chicago has already denied that motion, and I believe the case is now pending before the Board of Immigration Appeals. So you may actually, or you may not, see this case again.
Well, I hate to see these things bounce around like two ping pong balls.
Yes, Your Honor.
It seems to me we have to at least have this in one package, wouldn't we?
Well, Your Honor, the Supreme Court's decision in Stone v. INS does allow for this sort of dual tracking, and the court basically said that you take the case that's in front of you now, and unfortunately that's where we are.
Hmm. Is it in the record where this other one is? At least so we know that there's something, some other case number out there that they may be heading our way.
Right, as I said, Your Honor, right now it's before the board, and recently before the board, I believe, and counsel can correct me, I believe it was April 2nd that the immigration judge made its determination. So it's just starting to come up on the board's radar. The court has no further questions. The government would submit on its briefs.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
You have 1 minute, sir.
To clarify where things are with the Board of Immigration Appeals, the immigration judge, after not deciding the second motion for roughly 1 year, even when the government's own attorneys, the district counsel here in Chicago, did not oppose that subsequent motion to reopen. We even sought a directed finding from the judge. The judge took 10 months to issue a one-page decision denying the motion. So that was issued April 2nd. April 6th it was sent out. We didn't get it until the following week. So that appeal is very fresh at the board. We're waiting for a briefing schedule now. In terms of the burden on the government, it is clear, convincing, and unequivocal. Would be the INS, they have to establish that Mr. Adeyemo is deportable by clear, convincing, and unequivocal evidence. If they can't even prove that he received the charging document, there's no way that they can establish that he's deportable. affordable. In addition, the statute itself, not in 242B A small 1, but when talking about how to rescind an order of removal, does establish that clear, convincing, and unequivocal is the standard of proof for notice, and they haven't established that.
Thank you, Counsel. Thank you.